DQ presents. Picture this. You stand before the awe-inspiring new signature stack burger menu at DQ and your mouth wonders, where have you been all my life? That's 5 taste bud tempting cheeseburgers with 100% real seasoned beef. You peek at the loaded A1 stack burger with 2 premium sauces. Then the flamethrower stack burger with tongue-tingling jalapeno bacon. Then you realize moments like these are exactly why we have the DQ signature stack burger menu. DQ. Happy tastes good. Get it delivered at DQ.com.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All righty, we are back, and we have Dr. Peter J. Glidden with me, and he has written a book called Attempt a Cure, and it's a good one because he tells you from cover to cover in there here, I just turned to page 134, talks about burns. Here's the natural use, the best way to treat burns. And then Candida on the next page. And then, from cover to cover, you've spent a lot of time. How long did it take you to put this book together?
60 years.
All righty, there you go. A lot of us old-timers around here nowadays. Let me ask you a question, because, you know, it's if the AMA doesn't really know if there's two genders, if they don't know the difference, what if Randy went in with a prostate problem and he ends up coming out with a hysterectomy?
Probably going to be the new standard of care, you know?
We're laughing at this. It used to be, I remember, things have changed rapidly. I mean, real rapidly. I remember as a child, when the doctor would come to our house, and he would make house calls, and the doctor had good old common sense, and right. He would tell you about natural remedies there, and we're talking the MDs in those days. But, it seems like it's moved so rapidly. Do we go back to the Rockefellers? Where did this all really start with this? We know that when you go to the pharmacia, that started back, thousands of years ago with the...
Well, it was the early 1900s. That the Rockefellers and the Carnegies got together, and they hired this guy named Abraham Flexner to go around the country. And back in those days, we had a free medical market. There were no regulations, and just about anybody could practice medicine. And so the Rockefellers and the Carnegies pooled their money, and they hired Abraham Flexner to go around the country. You know, this was before the internet, right? I mean, Flexner took railroad cars around the country and stagecoaches, I think. And he compiled a list of all of the hospitals in the United States that practiced, that delivered drugs, that used pharmaceuticals. And he brought that list back, and it was famously referred to as the Flexner Report. And the Flexners, the Rockefellers and the Carnegies, used that list to gin up support for pharmaceutical medicine. And they glad-handed members of Congress to pass a law which made doctors who practiced medicine by drug medicine as the only legal form of medicine. It was, in fact, a hostile takeover of the practice of medicine, and it was solidified in 1912. That's when Congress granted the American Medical Association exclusive control over who could and who couldn't practice medicine. And, of course, they did it under the guise of public safety, you know, ridding the United States of quack doctors and quack medicine, but that had nothing to do with it. They were cornering the market for the pharmaceutical industry that the Rockefellers and the Carnegies, you know, had investments in. And there's been no turning back ever since. You know, ever since then, the Flexner Report and the American Medical Association takeover of the medical practice here, there's been no looking back. And they've maintained their position at the top with aggressive laws and with the unimaginable wealth of the pharmaceutical industry. And most people don't know this, but the only thing that can legally treat a disease in the United States, wait for it, is a drug. That's why when you go to a health food store, it doesn't say arthritis treatment, it says healthy bone and joint. It doesn't say ulcer treatment, it says healthy digestive tract. Because if you say that a natural substance that's not a drug treats the disease, well, you're going to go to jail. Most people don't understand. Most people don't understand how deep this well is and how deep this monopoly goes. It all started in 1912, brought to you by the Rockefellers and the Carnegie.
Well, you know, when you go there to these health food stores and you pick up things, and that's where I go, and it says on there, this product has not been rated by the FDA. The FDA doesn't have any credibility with me anymore. I mean, they just don't. In fact, you know, there is so much out there where they've been caught so many times doing whatever the big pharma wants. Besides that, if you work for the FDA, when you retire, then you really get a good job at big pharma. You go right from the FDA to
the FDA and the pharmaceutical industry, and that's legal. Shouldn't be legal, but things like this are allowed, and nobody goes to jail, Pastor, because they're too big to fail, they're too big to jail, and they've got way too much political power and persuasion. I mean, you know, most people can, from the general public, can see that there's a lot of funny business going on, but as an insider, I mean, I'm here to tell you it's 1,000 times worse than you think it is, and it's bad. And you need to take your own health into your own hands, for goodness sakes, once and for all. Do what you can to extract yourself from the medical mousetrap, and it's not that difficult.
Well, it's not 1,000 times worse than I, because I've been doing this for a long time, and I can tell you I've had people on this radio program going back many years that aren't with us anymore. People like yourself that aren't here doing what you're doing tonight. And they end up, they end up at room temperature at an early age. And I don't know what the number is now. How many? Just say in the past 5 years, do you have any idea how many
that have? 99 people like myself have died mysteriously. So you know, if you're out there, pray for Dr. Glidden. Pray for blanket protection over me, because I don't want to be, you know, pushing up daisies next week, ladies and gentlemen. I've got a lot of work left to do, and I could use your prayers. I could use your support very much.
Well, you know what you're talking about, prayers. We need to go to a prayer. I just remembered I had gotten a call today and asked if I could pray. There was an individual who fell into a fire. And I'm going to try to find that call today. And if I can, let me go to that, because I need to play that recording and pray for this individual, because he's not in good shape tonight. So let me see what I can find here. Okay, let me see. Okay.
Listen, press 1. Send. First saved message.
Hey, Pastor Ernie. My name is...
Resaved.
Good morning, Pastor Stennis.
Resaved.
This is a reminder that the April Geauga County...
Resaved.
Hey, Pastor. This is Ken.
Resaved.
Hey, Pastor. My name's John Holden. Hey, you had a...
Resaved.
Hi, Pastor Sanders. This is Chuck Reisinger. It is 1:30 p.m. I'm calling you. We just got a phone call from my sister-in-law, Beth Cavalier. My brother-in-law, Tony Cavalier, was working out in his lake property this afternoon, earlier, and he was burning some brush, and somehow he got tangled into the fire. He fell into the fire, and his face has been burned. His neck has been burned, and his shoulder's been burned. He's on the way to the hospital right now, but we just wanted to ask you for a prayer chain for Tony from the church itself, or maybe on the program this evening, to pray for him and Beth, and for the recovery from these burns, from this fire. Again, it's my brother-in-law, Tony Cavalier, who's been burned in a brush fire out at his lake house. Talk to you later. Bye.
All right, so that's what we're going to do right now, and let's do that. Let's pray for him. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I want to hold up Tony Cavalier and, And Lord, I would hope that people, burns are horrible. It's so much, so painful, especially when you get them around the face. And so if you folks out there all around the country, if you would join us in prayer, because listen, the Bible is very clear. Those that show mercy receive it. And so join with me. There's power. There's very, very big power in prayer, much power. So Heavenly Father, Lord God, I want to hold him up, Tony and Beth, and just ask, Lord, that you would intercede on their behalf, Father God, that you might be a comfort to them right now and heal them. And Lord, that you would turn theirs, and for all the folks that are listening to us right now, Lord, all of them out there, that you would turn their desires towards you more and more every day in every way. And we know that there's nothing greater than that. So we thank you. And Lord, we just again would expect that you would touch them and bless them with blessings, with all the blessings you have for them, that they might receive a healing and that you might take away the pain. In Jesus' name. Amen.
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 All right. Yeah, I'm glad you said that, Peter, because it had skipped my mind. There was so much going on here today. But, and you know, then wouldn't you know, we turned to the page and you're talking about how to treat burns. Then that reminded me. And so, every time you come on this radio program, the phones light up early. Now, tonight they've lighted up an hour early. And so, we have with us tonight, we're going to go to and take some calls. Let's go ahead and just take some calls. Let's go to Tom in Akron. Tom, you're in the air.
Yeah. Hi, Dr. Glidden. Hi, Pastor.
Hi, Tom.
I just want to tell you real quick, because I know you got other calls. I went in for emergency gallbladder surgery 3 weeks ago. My gallbladder was taken out, and everything went well, except whatever anesthesia they had given me, I had a reaction to, and then they had to give me Epirim or something like that to counter it, because I had a sudden drop with my blood pressure. But then after they gave me that allergy drug, everything came back to normal. So they kept me in ICU for 2 days, but I was perfectly fine. Then they released me. So, but now I'm dealing with this gallbladder, and I have been on a strict gluten-free diet for 25 years, so they were amazed. I'm 68 years old. They said that my heart and everything is, and lungs and everything, I was in really very good physical condition for my age. So God's good, you know, and I'll tell you, I really believe that, there's a lot of fear out there today, and sometimes we get afraid, but I had some very good doctors. God surrounded me with some really good people, and I had excellent care in the hospital. I'm thankful. I mean, I had never anticipated getting my gallbladder removed. It was a sudden thing, and a stone got trapped in there, and the bile was building up, and had I not gone, it could have burst. So I'm thankful to God that we do have some really good doctors out there, and I know we tend to criticize, and there's a lot of bad out there too, but I'm thankful for the good, and with God, God always goes before us, and we're not going to be here one day less than God intends, nor are we going to be here one day more than God intends for our life. So I try not to worry. I found out in my life, put your faith in the Lord, and also I got to witness to a lot of good people down there and tell them about Jesus. So my experience overall, now what I'm concerned about, and here's my question. What should I do to adjust my diet now that I no longer have this organ that God created for my body?
Well, that's a good question, and I'd like to respond to it in two ways. First of all, I'm glad that you came through the surgery, good. The gallbladder surgery, it's done with a laparoscopic method now. That was invented about 15 years ago. Before the laparoscopic gallbladder surgery, they used to have to slice you open. It was like a 4-foot-long incision, and you're in the hospital for at least a week. So now they can often, when they do gallbladder surgery, if there's no complications, it's even a day surgery. You can be in and out in the same day, and that's good, and it's also bad. Because the surgery is so easy and it's such a moneymaker for the hospital that they will recommend you have the gallbladder surgery, maybe even if you don't need it, because from their point of view, well, you've got one gallstone. It's only a matter of time until you have 100, and so you might as well just take the gallbladder out because you don't really need it anyway. You don't really need the tonsils. You don't really need the appendix. This is how they think.
Well, mine was inflamed. They had to put me on morphine. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm a fan of surgery when it's necessary, and this is the wheelhouse of the allopathic physician, and because that's the epitome of reductionism. Surgery when it's necessary. And they're really good at that. And all the major advances in medicine in the last 100 years have been in the surgical theater, for goodness sake. But this begs the question. While you were under the medical doctor's care, paying lots of money every month in medical insurance premiums, you got a bad gallbladder. And you didn't get a bad gallbladder because you have a bad gallbladder gene, or because you're in your 60s, or because you're a man, or because there are chemtrails. You got a bad gallbladder, a condition in your gallbladder, because you had bad medical care. That's why you got it. You need to understand.
I haven't been to doctors, and hardly ever go to a doctor, hardly ever get sick. I've been on natural care for 25 years. I supplement, I exercise, I eat right. And
well,
I know you weren't doing
something right because you got a gallbladder issue. And so let me tell you the root cause of a gallbladder issue. The gallbladder is a little bag that hangs underneath the liver. And the gallbladder's job is to collect bile that the liver makes. And the liver makes quarts of bile every day. And the bile's job is to help the body to digest fat. It's a wonderful process. So the liver makes bile, it's stored in the little gallbladder, and then it's squirted into the small intestine when food passes through, and it helps the body to digest everything. Everybody's happy. When you get a funky gallbladder, it's because you have funky bile. And what makes funky bile? A liver that's under-nutrified. It's kind of like a car that, you know, it needs 6 quarts of oil, but it's only got one. And you're putting diesel fuel in the tank, and you really should be putting unleaded and like that. So the reason that people have gallstones is because the bile that the gallbladder is storing is unhealthy. And why is the bile unhealthy? Because the liver is unhealthy. Why is the liver unhealthy? Because your body has run out of the nutrients that it needs in order to keep the liver healthy. Now, the single most important nutrient for liver health is the trace mineral selenium. And the preferred form of selenium is called selenomethionine. So the recommendation moving forward would be you should take all 90 essential nutrients into your body that your body needs, plus extra selenium, plus a digestive enzyme that has bile in it, because your body needs the bile to help digest food. And the best digestive enzyme that I've seen in 33 years of clinical work is made by, you can purchase it at Eiffel Health. You get all of the supplements that I recommend, by the way, at Eiffel Health, eiffelhealth.com. Their phone number, 888-618-1796, 888-618-1796. My recommendation would be to fill your nutritional tank up with the nutrients that your body desperately needs that you cannot get from your food. You could have 100 acres of the most organic farmland in the world and only eat the food that you grow and never see a medical doctor in your life, and you would still get sick because the nutrients that your body needs is not in the soil. Not all of them. Some of them. Not most of them.
I understand that principle. Yeah, I understand that.
So your liver got sick slowly over time because it ran out of nutrients, plain and simple. So you got to, number one, put those nutrients back in the tank. And now, number two, we got to deal with the fact that, well, you don't have a gallbladder anymore. So you have to start swallowing the stuff that your gallbladder was giving to your body. And that's a product called the Ultimate Enzyme. I would take one Ultimate Enzyme at the beginning of every meal, every small meal, and two Ultimate Enzymes at the beginning of every large meal. And in my book, Attempt to Cure, under the hepatitis section, I have a 21-day juicing program that's designed to really help your liver fix itself. Because the liver...
I have a juicer.
Yeah, so there are certain juices that will stimulate your liver's ability to fix itself. And the liver is the only organ that can regenerate itself. You can search.
Well, I also supplement with milk thistle because that supports the liver.
Yeah, it does. But there are herbs that will support the liver, but you need to provide the liver the nutrients that it needs to fix itself.
Right, and I'm taking a super enzyme right now.
Up. You don't just put air in the tires, right?
Right.
You
gotta I take amino acids.
Well, but you're not taking enough, is my point, because you got a bad gallbladder. So what? Well,
I don't know. We've had a history of it in our family on my mother's side. A lot of people have had their gallbladders out.
There's no gene that codes for a bad gallbladder. I'm sorry, it doesn't exist.
Well, I don't agree with you. Some people are prone to cancer and heart problems. We're all going to die from something, and I do think the genes make a connection. So in that arena, I disagree with you, but thanks for taking my call.
All right. Can I give him your phone number, the 855 number, so he can call you with more of these questions?
Well, yeah, the phone number is on my website. The website is riseupintohealth.com. And I've got lots of information there concerning genetics. And there's a lot of misinformation in the world concerning genetics. And there's a big difference between genetics and epigenetics. I mean, people think that they get sick because they have a bad gene, and it's not the truth. Because, I mean, even Darwin said it's survival of the fittest. So if it is survival of the fittest, then the people with the bad gallbladder gene would have been deselected from the herd thousands of years ago. It's not genetics. It's epigenetics. It's the environmental stress that causes the gene to upregulate or downregulate itself. It's a complicated process, and it's managed by the nutrient capacity of the body. So if you don't have enough selenium in your body, your liver is the genes that make your liver healthy. You're not going to fire properly. It's not because you have a bad gene. It's because your body ran out of the nutrients it needed, in this case, to make the liver healthy.
All right, now we've got another caller. His name is Cliff, and he's a total expert on 101 different topics. So,
okay. Hey, hello, doctor. It's interesting. Psalm 140, David says they are looking to overthrow my goings. He says that to the Lord, and at the end of that, he says overthrow them. So he reverses the whole thing, but. My question would be this classification of pre-diabetic. You hear, there's millions of people that are pre-diabetic. Could you go over that? Maybe just also repeat a little bit what you said about the teeth. And also, for Miss Jackson, doesn't a woman's skull have a different suturing and a different shape?
Well, a woman's pelvis has a different shape. I'm not sure about the skull. I'm not a pathophysiologist. That's
we don't want Cliff looking at her pelvis. I'll just leave it there.
Okay. So medical doctors love to categorize and subcategorize and sub-subcategorize things. They love to do it. And so this is one of the reasons why, we have pre-diabetes and pre-diabetes, and there's all these, it's a slippery slope from healthy blood sugar to flat-out blood sugar pathology like type 1 or type 2 diabetes, and there's a lot of iterations along that curve. And from our point of view, it's interesting, don't you think, that your medical doctor has no idea what causes type 2 diabetes. Your medical doctor has no idea what causes gallstones. Your medical doctor has no idea what causes heartburn. Your medical doctor has no idea what causes anything. And so they, when questioned on it, they'll say, it's genetic. But it's not. It's epigenetic. There's a big difference between the two, but I digress. So the first thing to consider with funky blood sugar metabolism in the human body, two things. Number one, that there are poisons in the body, there are chemicals in the body, there are toxins in the body, which inhibit the action of insulin. And insulin's job is to tap on to ring the doorbell on the cell, tell the cell that there's sugar outside, and then the cell opens the door and lets the sugar in. when that process can be interrupted by different toxins which have accumulated in the human body. Number one. Number two, in order for that doorbell to ring and for the cell to open up a door to let the sugar in, you need to have trace mineral chromium present. The body can't make chromium. It's a mineral. Body can't make it. Animals can't make it. Plants can't make it. The only way that chromium gets into the body is if it's in the soil that the food is growing in, and, well, oh, guess what? It's not. The Food and Drug Administration, the United States Department of Agriculture reported that to Congress in 1933, that the amount of minerals in the soil is dangerously low, and we need to do something about it. It's a health epidemic waiting to happen, and, well, guess what? It's happened. So you need to give the body the nutrients that it needs that aren't in the soil, that aren't in the food, if you're going to even, you know, be able to have healthy blood sugar. And in this regard, chromium is the major player. But the reason that we get traction and the reason that this approach that I champion is so very effective and so much more effective than most others is because it's not just chromium that you need. There are 89 other nutrients that the body needs. And it's like a symphony that works in the body. So you need 90 essential nutrients, one of which is chromium. And if you have a pre-type 2 diabetes or even type 2 diabetes, frank type 2 diabetes, when you take the 90 essential nutrients into your body and a little extra chromium in this case, 9 out of 10 times your blood sugar is going to optimize and you're going to be healthy again and you're going to dodge that bullet. The medical doctors aren't trained in this. So they don't know that this is possible. They haven't read the research. They haven't done the clinical work. Never treated a patient with this methodology. All they do is, you know, wait until it gets really bad, and then we're going to put you on insulin or we're going to put you on metformin. Oh, by the way, nobody knows how metformin works. Metformin is the drug that medical doctors use to manage blood sugar, and they don't know how it works. And I'm the question. It's crazy.
I'm going to have to, we got the whole board lit up, so, and Peter, you don't know Cliff, he's going to go right now and try to make chromium. So let's go, I know this guy. Okay, let's go to Ryan in Michigan.
Hi, I was wondering if you agreed with this or not, but I was in this health store the other day, and I said, you know, all my life, you know, you hear, I mean, nobody has any problem with milk, and why is all of a sudden nobody can drink milk? And she said, because they cook the enzymes, or they get the enzymes out of it, and she gets raw milk, even though it's, I guess, illegal. But I'm going to try this raw goat milk and see how that is. But do you agree with that? That what's wrong?
So the food industry has gotten into pasteurizing, ultra-pasteurizing milk, which means they'll bring it up to a high temperature to kill all of the bugs in the milk. And in that process, a lot of the enzymes that help the body digest the milk are also destroyed. Now, the reason that they started to do this was because of tuberculosis. And tuberculosis can find its way into unpasteurized milk. And that's the problem. But unpasteurized milk is the way to go if you're going to drink cow's milk. But you have to make sure that the farm that you get the milk from is certified by, you know, the state agricultural organization, whoever does it, that their cows are tuberculosis-free. So if you're going to buy unpasteurized milk, cow's milk or goat's milk or sheep's milk or camel's milk from anybody, you have to see the certificate that the animals that they're taking the milk from are tuberculosis-free. And if they can't provide that documentation, I wouldn't do it. And that's one of the reasons why it's illegal. But, you know, they threw the baby out with the bathwater here because the pasteurization process prevented people from getting tuberculosis, but it also eliminated most of the good stuff that's in the milk. And by the way, a milk allergy, an unknown allergy to milk, is one of the leading causes of insulin-dependent diabetes. And that's a whole nother story. So, you know, it's complicated, but I've got all of this information on my website. And more importantly, if you're listening here and you want to slam these doors and kick these tires, go to EiffelHealth.com or dial 888-618-1796 purchase the Healthy Foundation Pack and try it for 1 month, just 1 month. Let me know how you feel, for goodness sakes. You don't know what you're missing. 888-618-1796.
All right, we'll be back right after this with more.
Read his words, heed his signs. Can't you see these are the times? Earthquakes, famines, and pestilence are all on the rise. The love of man is waxing cold, just like the way that he foretold. With all these things now happening before our eyes, can't you feel? Sense a new day dawning, rising like the morning sun with healing in his wings. Rid up your minds to be believing, prepare your hearts to be receiving the soon to be returning Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Son of man be. Can't you feel the kingdom coming? Can't you sense a new day dawning? Rising like the morning sun with healing in his wings. Rid up your minds to be believing. Prepare your hearts to be receiving the soon to be returned. Messiah, Jesus Christ, El Shaddai, Yahshua, hallelujah. Can't you feel the kingdom coming? Can't you sense a new day dawning? Rising like the morning sun with healing in his wings. Rid up your minds to be
Alrighty, we are back, and we have with us my old buddy, Dr. Peter Glidden, tonight. And he's telling you all out there how to get well, okay? Now, Peter, have you noticed something different about tonight's radio program with the callers?
No, they're a little bit more oppositionally defiant.
Well, you know, one thing, can you speak up a little louder, too, or right closer, because your signal's coming in low here. No. Here's the things. Mostly, when you're here, most of the calls come from women, or at least, you know, 50 or 60%. We haven't had one woman call tonight.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, and the majority of the patients that see holistic health care providers are female. That's an interesting point, Pastor. That one went right over my head, but I'm with you. I'm with you 100%.
Now, do you think it's possibly had anything to do with Randy and a hysterectomy? I hope, but
as a result of my hysterectomy, I want to ask you a question, Dr. Glidden.
All right,
how are you doing? Good to talk to you. Listen, tell me about berberine and cinnamon with chromium in it for treatment of diabetes, because Cliff brought that up. I'm wondering about that.
Yeah, it's a good thing to do, but it's the icing on the cake. It's not the cake. So the cake is the 90 essential nutrients, because all of these nutrients work together in a big concert in your body. It's not just one or two things that you need. You need all of them. And that's why this method that I am promoting, I'm promoting because in 33 years of clinical work, it's the most effective method I've seen. I used to just do single nutrients. I used to give intravenous drips of vitamin C in gram doses to people. Massive amounts of vitamin C, it was good, but this is better. So yeah, you need chromium. Cinnamon helps. Berberine helps. But there are 90 essential nutrients that are mandatory.
Are those now the ones you're talking about? That is in that tangerine mix, the powder?
Yeah, it's in a combination of four different nutritional supplements, and on the website it's referred to as the Healthy Foundation Pack.
Okay, well, that's what I have. You're talking about the calcium, the mineral, the liquid minerals, and then the powder.
Calcium, tangy tangerine, and the fish oil.
Okay.
That gives you everything that your body needs. And look, if you want to do a little extra chromium, a little extra cinnamon on top of that, that's beautiful. That's a great thing, and it will speed everything up. But if you don't have the foundation, your improvement's going to be in fits and starts.
I'm gonna do that tomorrow. I'm gonna get the 90 essentials, because I've gotten some of your stuff. Obviously, I read your book, and next time we talk, how long would it take for me to notice something? A month? 2 months?
Well, how much do you weigh?
206. I'm 6 feet tall. I weigh 206.
14 days.
Okay. Thank you.
If not sooner, and that's the beauty of this approach, because I mean, the proof of the pudding's in the eating, man. Right.
Yeah.
And honest to God, Cliff, the only reason that my profession still exists, honest to God, is because more often than not, when people follow our advice, they feel better, right? And, I mean, that's really the acid test.
Yeah.
How do you feel, right? What happens to your blood work and everything after the fact? So I appreciate your trust. Really, I do. And it really means a lot to me. And I'm excited for you to give this a try.
Okay, we're going to go to Al and then AC next. And we're going to find out, too. You women better call in and tell us why you're not calling in, right? All righty. Al, you're in the air.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. Dr. Glidden, you mentioned about, I'm really a believer in you. I'm not going to be oppositional. But I, about the fish oil, does that cause heart problems? Because I heard that that could cause heart or prostate problems. Is that true?
Well, if you only take fish oil, and you take too much of it, and it's from a company that puts crappy fish oil into the capsule, then yeah. But fish oil contains two essential nutrients, omega-3 and omega-6 essential fatty acids, and they're called essential because your body needs them. Your body can't make them. So you need these things, and the problem with fish oil is the kind of fish oil that you're getting, the company that makes it, and how much you're taking. But, you know, we've got all of that dialed in for you, of course, because this is what my profession does for a living. We've got all of this stuff figured out. So when you take the fish oil that's in the foundation pack, your heart's actually going to improve. It's not going to – there's no downside to this at all.
All right, let me ask one more thing about the vaccine right now, okay? And I believe it's bad. I didn't get it. I'm like Rod Randy. I'm 6 foot, but I'm 300 over. I got to lose weight big time. But yeah. The vaccine, I think it'll kill me, so I didn't get it. But I know so many people that have gotten it, and they seem to be okay. So is it the thing where I remember Randy also said weeks ago that it's supposed to kill a lot of people within 8 years? Is that true?
Say it again now.
Remember, somebody said on the program that if you got the shots, it's going to, you know, the vaccine, COVID.
Oh, Luc Montagnier that's a quote, direct quote from Luc Montagnier. He was the virologist who won the Nobel Prize alongside Robert Gallo back in the, I guess that was the 80s, but if discovering the HIV vaccine. But that was Montagnier's prediction.
Okay,
yeah,
so is that why?
Daddy.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, so this is an mRNA treatment. It's not really a vaccine. They call it a vaccine because they changed the definition of a vaccine a year into this. They actually did that. Technically, this stuff is not a vaccination. But because they changed the definition of a vaccine, well, okay, so now it's a vaccination. Every time that they've used this type of a product in animals, all the animals have died. And it's one giant experiment. We don't really know what's going to happen, but we know what the mechanisms are. And we're seeing in some of the patients that have been vaccinated that the spike proteins tend to concentrate in the ovaries. Other people, the spike protein tends to concentrate in the testes. In other people, the spike protein tends to concentrate around the heart area or in the brain. And so because this is one gigantic experiment with brand new technology that's never been used on humans before, we have no idea what's going to happen. And that's the scariest part about this, that people rolled up their sleeves for an unnecessary giant scientific experiment.
Well, you know, Dr. Tenpenny also, she also said, look for, within 5 years, it's going to hit hard, okay, from the time they first start giving these vaccines. But not just her. We've had at least 7 or 8
absolutely
people on this radio program from the frontline doctors or a number of different virologists, too.
That's exactly right.
That have said the very same thing.
I mean, it's bad, man. It's a big, bad voodoo daddy and completely unnecessary. Like I said before, I sound like I'm beating a dead horse, but I'm beating a live horse in this case. There's no need to have the vaccine because there are treatments that are very effective for this. I mean, very, very, very effective for this. This experimental nonsense was not necessary, but it was rolled out because everybody trusts their medical doctor.
It was rolled out because Big Pharma wants to make a lot of money. And I sat in their meetings before for years, and the whole purpose is to depopulate the planet. The whole purpose is to depopulate the planet. This whole thing is about. It's one of many ways that they want to depopulate our planet. That's reality. And ask Bill Gates. He's come right out and said it. But we got to move on. Let's go to AC. AC, you're in the air.
Hello, doctor.
What's going on, AC?
Dr. Peter. My question concerns kidney failure, and specifically, you know, you have a lot of people today that they're diagnosed with kidney failure, and then the recommendation is, well, you need a transplant.
Or dialysis.
So the transplants are cadavers, okay, or corpses, carcasses. But my question is, can something be done to rejuvenate the kidney so a transplant is not required?
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, if you look around, dialysis clinics are popping up like mushrooms after an August rain. They're everywhere all the time because kidney failure is a big thing. Why is kidney failure a big thing? Because medical doctors don't know how to keep the kidneys healthy. And people's kidneys are going south because people are eating all of the wrong food all of the time, and their bodies have run out of the nutrients that they need to keep the kidney healthy. My colleague, Joel Wallach, was working in China years and years ago on a research project, and he did a lot of extensive examinations of all different kinds of kidney pathology, and he's done thousands of autopsies, and I'm not exaggerating, thousands of autopsies. And the one common denominator that he found with all kidney pathology was the eeny weeny teeny blood vessels inside the kidney. And the kidney, by the way, the blood vessels in the kidneys are so small, there are literally miles of blood vessels in your kidney. And they were jammed up. He looked at them with an electron microscope, and they're clogged up, the same way that the arteries in your heart can get clogged up. And that was the underlying cause of most kidney pathology. Well, what makes the blood vessels in the kidneys clog up? Wheat, barley, rye, and oats, oil in a bottle, fried food, meat with nitrate and preservatives in it, the 12 bad foods that I enumerate on my website for free, by the way. This list is free.
It's in your book, too.
Okay.
So, number one, you have to stop eating food that's gumming up the works. And then number two, you have to take nutrients into your body, which help the kidneys clean themselves out. And I've had lots of people that I've treated that we've prevented them from going to dialysis. I have two or three people that have gotten off of dialysis completely. This is a wonderful program. It doesn't work 100%, 100% of the time because everybody's a little different. But if you've got threatening kidney failure, then you know your glomerular filtration number is low or your creatinine is high or whatever, then you should probably source the information in my book and get on board with my Build a Kidney Health program for at least 6 months.
All right, AC, we have the book. If you don't, we have the book. I've got to move on because we have either a real woman or a man named Tina. No trans things here. Let's go to Tina.
I'm a woman.
I can tell. Yes. I can't even see you, but I can tell you're a woman, and that's more than that Dr. Katanji could do, right?
Yeah, they ought to meet so she could teach her that.
Yeah, all right.
Okay, I have two questions. I was considering of getting a tomography because I don't want any lung. I've been having pain on my left lung. I don't know if that's going to help because I don't want any x-ray. Is that going to be good? A good thing to do, getting a tomography?
Well, I wouldn't do thermography. I mean, you know, if you've got consistent pain in your lung, then it needs to figure out what it is. So most of the time, that can be figured out either with a high-definition ultrasound or with a digital X-ray. And the digital X-ray technology that they're using now is really low levels of radiation. You don't need to be worried about it. And if you are worried about it, just go to the health food store and pick up a full-spectrum vitamin E like Edward, full-spectrum vitamin E like Edward, and do two vitamin E's the morning of the X-ray, two vitamin E capsules immediately after the X-ray, and two vitamin E capsules with dinner, and then take six vitamin E capsules the next day. That will go a long way towards helping your body deal with the radiation from the X-ray. But I would figure out what the problem is, because you need to know. I mean, if you've had persistent pain for more than 4 weeks, you need to figure out what it is. Could just be that one of your ribs has popped out. Could be as easy as that.
Well, it's more like an upper corner of my lung. And also my left foot is swollen. It's been swollen for a couple of months.
Well, you need to have a physical exam and some blood work done.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
What the problem is. And medical doctors are pretty good at diagnosing things. They're horrible at treating things because they don't attempt to cure anything. They just manage it. So you should go to a healthcare provider and figure out what the problem is and then come back and ask me, and I'll tell you what to do for it.
Well, I know. I had to get rid of her. The one I had. I have to get a new one. But I just wanted to know, because I know as soon as I go there, they're probably going to tell me, oh, get an x-ray. So that's why I called just to get an opinion.
Yeah, so what I would do, the last place I would go for an x-ray is the hospital, because the hospital will charge you five times as much for the x-ray as the x-ray center down the street will.
Oh.
All right. I've got to move on, Tina, but thank you, and let's go to Pastor Hal.
How you doing?
We're doing okay.
Okay, you want me to give the plan of salvation?
Not yet. You've got a couple minutes to speak to Peter.
Okay, I have a question. I understand that when milk gets heated, it kills the enzymes. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, the salt is an enzyme. So if somebody would take just a little pinch of salt with a glass of milk, would that restore the enzyme to that milk that would make it healthy again to drink?
Negatory, Ghost Rider.
I thought I came up with something there.
Yeah, no, that's not going to cut that mustard. You're going to need to get unpasteurized milk from a reputable farm that has their cows regularly tested for TB.
Okay, unpasteurized milk. Yeah, and goat's milk isn't any better then, huh?
Well, it depends on if it's pasteurized or not. Goat's milk is, you know, I don't know who invented goat's milk. I guess God invented it. It tastes horrible. I can't stand the taste of goat's milk. But ironically, it's a, you know, if we're going to compare apples to apples, goat's milk is a much better food for the human body than cow's milk is.
All righty. You've got 4 minutes, Pastor Hal. Peter, thanks for being here with us tonight. That number, too, you can call. Eiffel Health is 888-618-1796, 888-618-1796. And you can ask them all those questions. Tell them what Peter has told you, and they've got good products. I know I take them. And Hal, lead us to the throne.
Okay, you know, 90% of the people that are religious but lost are religious but lost for one simple reason. They've been told all their life that their good works will get them to heaven, or if their good works outbalance their bad works or their church membership. But none of that, the Bible says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Titus 5. What gets you to heaven is when, you know, Jesus died on that cross. A lot of people say Jesus died on the cross because he loved you, to show you, you know, he loves you. But that doesn't tell the person anything, okay? God could have just simply told me that he loves me and I'd believe him. He wouldn't need to die on the cross if that's all he wanted to do. But the thing is, when man sinned, sin came into the world, all of us became infected by that sin. God hates sin, and God cannot let sin come to heaven. So no matter how much he loves us, he still has to judge sin. But what God's love into it, in that he allowed Jesus to pay the payment, the righteous payment that had to be paid for your sins and mine, God allowed him to transfer onto his son Jesus at Calvary. So when Jesus died on that cross, he said three words, "It is finished," which means all the work necessary for you and I to go to heaven, to be pardoned by God, to be able to go to heaven, have our sins washed away by the blood of Christ, was done by Jesus. So then you, by faith, repenting for your sins, sorry about the fact you're a sinner, come to Jesus and ask him to come into your heart and save you, trust in him and him only for your salvation. He'll do it. God wants you to come into heaven. God loves you, but he hates your sins. God wants you to come to heaven, but he says your sins cannot come with you. And the only thing that can wash away your sins is not your good works or church membership or the Pope or any crazy thing like that. The only thing that can wash away your sins is the blood of Christ, Ephesians 1:7. So God hears me talking to you right now. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved," which means if you believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood to save your soul, and you pray and you ask him to come into your heart, he's going to do it. And when he comes into your heart, he brings with him the payment he paid in your place on that cross, a payment he paid in full, and you receive eternal life right then and there, and nobody can ever take it away from you. So if you want Jesus Christ as your Savior, you want to know you're going to heaven because God made you that promise, pray this prayer with me. We'll pray together. I'll lead you a few words at a time, but even though we're praying together, it'd be directly between you and God, because only you can open up the door of your heart and let Jesus come in. Oh, dear God, Lord Jesus, I admit to you that I'm a sinner, and I'm sorry about my sins, and I need you to wash my sins away and save my soul. Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross and shed your blood to save my soul, and you're the only one that can save me, and your precious blood can wash away my sins. And I hear and now, Lord Jesus, ask you to come into my heart, forgive me of my sins, and save my soul so that I can have eternal life and spend eternity with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you just prayed that prayer, 1 John 5:13 says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God."
Hal, thanks, but we are out of time for tonight. So
good.
Until tomorrow, we want to say good night. God bless, and always, always do it.
Keep fighting the fight.
Fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.